Good evening and welcome to Life Moments, a podcast designed to inform, to inspire, and to motivate. I'm Terry Beckstrom, your host, and tonight is Christmas Eve 2018. We're coming to you just after live from our World Broadcast Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. And with me tonight is my special guest, my dear mother from Sumter, South Carolina, is here visiting for Christmas, she and her husband. And so I asked her if she would do the podcast with me so that we could talk about Christmas in the early days, back when they had horses and no telephones, right? Oh, maybe that was a little early for you. Okay, so we'll just talk about the early days of Christmas. So welcome, Mom.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So let's start off the show by just telling us some of the memories that you have from Christmas. Tell me some of the things that you remember growing up. I know you had a brother and sister.
Yeah, well, we love Christmas, couldn't wait for it to come as children, and we had this, we always had a big Christmas tree, and of course we cut our own trees, and we always look forward to going in the woods and cutting our tree down.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there for a second. Tell me about this tree that you guys cut. Where did you get it?
Well, we went out to, in the woods, called Tyndall Savannah.
Right.
And they had lots of pine trees out there.
It's nice that you guys had your own property to cut trees off of.
But we didn't.
Oh, so wait a minute.
That was almost 80 years ago.
So you're saying the statute of limitations is run off, so you can't be charged for stealing trees now.
No, it was okay then.
Okay, so you cut a tree? You did that every year?
We cut our trees down and take them home, and we'd make a lot of the decorations, and we would go out in the woods, and we would gather holly berries, and bring the holly home and decorate with that also. And I remember we had this big tree in the corner, and we'd kind of take turns, Robert and I anyway, I don't remember Inez doing it. We'd crawl under the tree and just sit behind the tree, and it was just a good feeling to do that.
By the way, I'm going to stop you there just to tell folks, so if you listen to an earlier podcast, her brother Robert is the baseball player from the 50s and 60s Yankees, Bobby Richardson. And my mother is the one who, I think, taught him how to play baseball, right? Taught him how to catch a ball, at least, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then you have another sister, Inez, who is 87, who lives 85. In Florida, 85. So did you guys all get along? Did you get a lot of presents for Christmas? How was it different then than it is now?
Well, we didn't get a lot, but we always had something special. It's not like it is nowadays. The children have everything, but what we got was very special to us. I can remember one year I got a leather jacket and a stocking hat, and I think it was some skates, but I was just thrilled to death. Another Christmas I remember, my sister, we would have a special place that Santa would leave our things, either on the couch or in these big chairs. And I always wanted what my sister had. And so that morning I went down real early before everyone else, and I switched dolls with my sister.
Well, how did you know which was hers? Did they have the names on them?
Yeah, well, we had our special places. But anyway,
Wait a minute, you switched dolls with your sister?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened? Did someone find out?
When Mother came down, she said, uh-oh, Santa Claus left the wrong doll.
Was her doll better than yours?
Well, I thought it was.
Was that always the case, that she got better gifts than you?
Well, I thought so, but she really didn't.
Okay. And I'm guessing that your brother was getting baseballs and baseball bats?
Oh, he got mainly. I remember one time he got a Cushman motor scooter. Of course, we didn't know he was getting it, and he didn't have many presents under the tree, and so I remember I went around the house getting little things and wrapping the gifts and put his name on it so he would have some more gifts. But then on Christmas morning, Daddy surprised us all, went out in the back and shop and had him a Cushman motor scooter.
So that was your first occasion of re-gifting, where you would go around the house and find things and give them.
Absolutely.
To people. Have you done that since?
No.
Do you want to confess now that for me and my brother growing up, that everything was a re-gift?
Oh, of course not.
Okay, how about other memories you have growing up?
Well, I always volunteered at school to bring the Christmas tree, and I know Daddy didn't get out off work until around dark, and so we'd go out to where we cut our trees after dark, and he'd use the lights on the car, cut down a tree for me to take to school the next day.
Okay, I'm trying to get, I think I'm getting the picture now, so you would go at night, kind of like deer shining, but you'd go at night when no one was around to see you guys taking the second tree, that was just...
He got off late and had to do it that way.
Okay, so you guys took two trees every year, one for the school and one for yourself. Before I let you go, for tonight, I appreciate your few minutes that you're here. I am going to ask you to go play something on the piano.
No, I'm not going to play anything.
Oh, my.
But anyway, have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Well, thanks, Mom, for joining us tonight. Okay, so it was nice having Mom dropping by. I hope you guys enjoyed that few moments there. So I think what we're going to do tonight, since it is Christmas Eve and you have kids that you want to put to bed, we're going to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Now, I'm going to do it, or I might elicit some help from one of my friends to do this from London. We have Sir Edmund Hillary here, and we're going to ask him to help us read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Edmund, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. All right, here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap, when out from the lawn there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his courser they came, and he whistled and shouted and call them by name. Now Dasher, now Prancer, now Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard from the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a piddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him. in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing at all to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, as he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sir Edmund. That was fantastic. I hope that as you and your family prepare for Christmas tomorrow, that you have a wonderful and joyous occasion together with your family, your friends, that there's a lot of laughter, and that above all, that you remember the reason for the season, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the birthday we celebrate. The big one is tomorrow. So I hope you all have a fantastic evening. Thanks for joining us tonight. And Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Friday. And everyone knew.